one above the other until the pale, smooth stone of the dome began. At the structure's base, dozens of small flyers and speeders, rickshaws and transports, clogged the streets and alleyways. At a glance, Han could see members of a dozen different species, mostly clumped together and eyeing one another warily. Across from the massive worked metal doors, a Gran was focusing all three of its stalked eyes politely on three black-robed Runans as they gesticulated angrily. Scarlet leaned forward and tapped the driver on the shoulder.
"We'll walk from here,"
she said.
"Damn right,"
the old Dresselian said.
"Can't park any closer than this anyway."
Han paid the man as Scarlet dropped to the street and made her way toward the Gran. From where he stood, Han could see the interest of the aliens on the street follow her. A new player had arrived, and everyone there was immediately curious about who she was, who she represented, and how she would change the balance of whatever conversations were going on inside the dome. By the time he reached her, she was thanking the Gran and bowing a formal farewell to the three Runans. She took Han by the elbow before he could speak and steered him gently but firmly toward the open doors.
"We need to get to the arcade on the third level," Scarlet said. "The Alliance delegation's in the middle of a conference."
"Let's go."
The interior of the Conclave Hive was as ornate as the outside, maybe more. Terraced gardens alternated with structures that seemed to grow from the walls. Near the top of the massive dome above them, a circle of 12 brilliant lights glowed and rotated slowly, bathing the interior in a permanent high noon. Everywhere, people were talking or arguing or watching with sullen anger and sly curiosity. Han knew that every extra side that came into a negotiation raised the complexity of the deal exponentially. Just walking across the broad courtyard, he could feel the density of attention like radiant heat. It was the pressure of people trying to play an angle. He was a little surprised that no one had asked him to leave his blaster outside. Wide stone stairs led up from the courtyard and around a massive pillar carved with the faces of an alien species Han didn't recognize. Then an open garden where two lines of Gamorreans in different colored uniforms were squealing and grunting at one another, while a pair of recording droids zipped among them, trying to catch everything that was being said and screamed and muttered. Another set of stairs led to the left, rising to another tier.
"You sure this is the right way?"
Han asked as they started up.
"No."
They walked along a wide terrace with a stone railing that looked down over a walled garden. Two men in bright yellow robes with shaved heads and cranial implants stood at the rail, their eyes locked and their implants flickering wildly. Scarlet started to steer Han around them, but he pulled her back.
"Down there,"
he said, pointing over the rail. In the walled garden below them, three humans sat across a stone table from a pair of Rodians. The two human men wore the uniforms of Alliance High Command, and between them, Leia was in a white gown with a bright blue brooch. Her hair was pulled back, and her face had a pleasant, amused, almost generous expression that he knew at a glance was as fake as a Marian tricorn hoof.
"This way," Scarlet said, ducking into the archway at the terrace's edge.
A thinner stairway led down, and they took it three steps at a time. When they reached the alcove at the garden's edge, the Rodians were standing and making small, insincere bows to the humans. Leia's smile gave away nothing. She held herself with the grace and ease of a Twi'lek dancer. Han paused. Another few seconds and they wouldn't be interrupting her meeting. The bowing finished, and the Rodians trooped away, gabbling to each other in their native language. Han stepped out into the garden, Scarlet at his side. One of the commanders glanced his way, eyebrows rising in surprise. Leia turned. Her face was soft and round, her pale cheeks touched with pink. The fake politeness fell away from her, and a tired, sardonic smile pressed her lips thin. She looked from Han to Scarlet and back again.
This isn't good news, is it?
Chapter 13.
We have to leave,
Hans said.
Right now.
Leia stared at him as if he were gibbering. Her scorn almost had a physical weight to it.
Fine. You tell her,
Hans said to Scarlet, trying to get Leia to look at someone other than him. Scarlet took a step forward, nodding respectfully.
Princess, we're trying to track down a criminal named Hunter Moss. He has information that the Empire badly wants to keep quiet.
No,
Hans said, cutting her off.
No, that's not what we're doing at all.
I don't know the name, Leia said, tapping her chin with one slim finger. Haven't met him yet. Is he here at the conference?
There's an Imperial strike force looking for him, and they might be jumping in system any minute now,
Han told her.
I think he will be, Scarlet said. Not as an invited delegate, though. He's got something to sell, so he'll probably be setting up private meetings and making the rounds at the bars and parties, looking for a buyer.
Also, Han said, a bounty hunter put a tracking device on the Falcon, so he's probably on his way, too.
All right, Leia said. I'll put out inquiries, see if anyone I know has been contacted by him. What information does he have?
Or maybe the bounty hunter has sold our location to the Empire for amnesty, Han said. Or to Jabba. Really, he's in a pretty rough spot, and just about anything's possible, so we should really get our people out of here, now!
He has an initial report from an expedition by Ezio Galassian,
Scarlet said.
I've heard about him, Leia said. He's an astrocartographer, isn't he? And a murderous thug who likes beating people to death with his custom droids. I lived at his compound. He impressed me, but not in a good way. All right, Leia said. And I take it we want to buy this stolen report?
No, Han said. We want to leave.
Buy it or steal it, Scarlet said. The threat of its leaking has mobilized more Imperial resources than anything I've seen.
Really?
Leia said.
That's interesting.
I don't know what it says, Scarlet said. But I know I want it.
Leia nodded to herself, thinking.
Then I want it too.
Chewie'll have the ship ready to go in a few hours, Han said. So I think we should all head back to the docks now.
I've got a meeting I have to take,
Leia said.
Once it's done, I'll let you know what I found.
No, because...
Han started.
We'll be here,
Scarlet said, and walked away, not waiting for Han. Leia started to leave, but Han caught her arm and pulled her in close.
This is serious, he said in a rough whisper. When that Imperial fleet jumps in, they're gonna kill this Moss and anyone who's on the same continent with him.
Leia pulled her arm away.
Don't grab me.
Are you listening to me? Imperial strike force?
I heard you,
Leia said, crossing her arms.
But Scarlet Hark's reputation as an intelligence agent is beyond reproach. She spent years on this. If she thinks this Hunter Moss and his information is worth the risk, then it is.
But once the Imperials jump in...
And...
Leia went on, cutting him off.
This conference is filled with potential allies of the Rebellion, which means we owe it to them to warn them of the danger. In the right way.
But...
And... Leia said. I'm not done here. I have a presentation and a number of important meetings.
Well, don't expect me to come worship at your feet. If giving a speech is more important than...
If I leave in the middle of it, I'd have been better off not coming at all. These groups fund the Alliance, Han. Where do you think we get our money? It's from places like this. Groups that want to end the Empire, but don't have the will or the weapons or the numbers. They give us money so we can do it for them. If we look scared, that's not going to happen.
I didn't know that,
Han said. The truth was, he'd never much thought about where the rebels got their financing. He'd only ever worried about getting his hands on some of it.
We'll figure out this Hunter Moss situation. I'll cement a few deals for alliances and financing. And we'll quietly warn the people who need to know about the Empire before their strike force arrives. I can handle this. It's what I do.
He looked down into her eyes. He'd forgotten how dark they were. What you do is get in trouble, he wanted to say. But he could already hear half a dozen of her replies. She lifted her eyebrows.
Yeah, Hans said. All right, princess. You talked me into it.
Oh?
Leia said with a sweet smile.
I wasn't asking.
Hans sat in a small, park-like courtyard. Large trees deepened the shadows around cool stone benches and fountains. Patches of grass and carefully tended flowers filled the spaces between gently curving walkways. The space was unoccupied, so Han took a seat on a bench, leaned back against a tree, and stretched out. Above, the thin strip of sky was a pale cerulean blue, dotted with puffy white clouds. Kiamur was a beautiful planet. Han pictured Imperial concussion bombs and plasma bolts tearing down through that serene sky like the thunder of an angry god. The carefully tended landscape turned into a nightmare of smoking craters. The Death Star might be gone, the Empire no longer able to destroy an entire world outright, but they could still turn the surface charred and uninhabitable. Han watched the blue skies, waiting for the ships to appear, the bombardment to begin. When it didn't, he called Chewbacca.
Hey, pal, how's it looking?
The Wookiee growled through a lengthy description of the damaged systems on the Falcon, then ended with an angry description of his feelings at being stuck with all the repair work.
Yeah, sorry about that. We've checked in with Leia, but she doesn't want to leave until she gives another speech. And Scarlet finds this Moss character.
Chewbacca growled and snorted.
Yes, I did tell her. She apparently doesn't find that as urgent as I do. It's Leia. You can't tell that woman anything.
Chewbacca barked out a Wookiee laugh.
Speaking of which, you got that torpedo pulled out of the Falcon?
Chewbacca growled at him.
Yes, I know it would go faster if I was there. I'll be there. But I'm going to poke around here a little bit first. See if I can find out what we're getting ourselves into.
After a final barrage of accusatory barks, Chewbacca closed the connection. Han looked back up at the sky. No Imperial fleet in orbit throwing fire and death. Strolling citizens chatted quietly, not running and screaming. The buildings gleamed in the sun instead of burning. Death had not come to Kiamur.
Not yet.
The first bar he found was a structure made entirely of blue crystal and soft, velvety moss. He sat with a crew of gray-faced Nymoidians in elaborate hats who were happy to complain about the strictures of Imperial customs officials and how expensive they were to bribe. When Han angled the conversation around to Ezio Galassian and Hunter Moss, he got blank stares and shrugs. The next place was a dive cantina just outside the conclave itself on a narrow side street, where the bouncer, a green-scaled reptilian Barabel, who looked like he'd have been as happy to start a fight as stop one, let him through with a scowl. Han sat at the bar, with Alpif music shrieking out from the stage like a cross between a landslide and the galaxy's longest-running catfight. He struck up conversations with the barkeep and a Sullustan with ornate tattoos on his dewflaps and ears, who claimed to have known Ezio Galassian personally. It took Han buying 3 rounds for the diminutive Sullustan to be certain he was a blowhard making up stories to keep the liquor flowing. The third bar was a temporary structure in a ballroom that was being rearranged. Droids were setting up tables and chairs, enough to seat several hundred. At one end of the room, a small stage had been erected with a podium. The room was so large that even with dozens of tables and hundreds of chairs scattered through it, it looked empty. The murals of the jagged mountains surrounding the conference center that had adorned the walls struck Han as silly. Why put a bunch of walls to block the view and then paint the view on the walls? At the base of a painted mountain, a droid behind a long bar served drinks to half a dozen people, including two brown-robed delegates. Han ordered a Seikoshan whiskey. The sharp liquor burned his throat going down, but did help clear his head a bit. Knowing he'd have to meet up with Leia again in just a few hours, Han nursed the drink.
"I agree,"
someone said to his left. A man in plain gray clothes with no badges or sashes designating rank. He was holding up a glass of brandy in salute. When Han nodded to him, the man tipped his glass and tossed off the rest.
"The only way to survive these things is with a touch of the liquid excitement."
Han smiled noncommittally and sipped at his drink.
"I'm here with a trade alliance," the man said. "Non-guild."
Smugglers, Han thought.
"Me too."
"I'll drink to that,"
the man said.
"I'd bet you'd drink to anything."
Han smiled and took another tiny sip.
"Say, you know a guy named Hunter Moss? Runs with the Sandave Collective?"
"Weapons,"
the man replied, showing that he at least knew what the collective was.
"Don't deal much in weapons."
"I've got some personal business with Moss, so trying to track him down. Heard he'd be here."
"Blood, money, or love?"
"Would you believe none of those?" Han asked.
"No,"
the man guffawed at him.
"No, I would not. But it's not my business anyway. Only know the collective by reputation. That's all bad. Sorry I can't help."
"It was a long shot," Han said. "What about Ezio Galassian?"
"Name rings a bell. Heard of a human went by something like that. Antiquities dealer. Explorer. But not for his main line. Doing it for love, not money. Hooked up with the Empire somehow."
"That's the one."
"I've heard he's a sadistic animal," the man said with a shrug.
"Well, that'll make him stand out from the Imperial crowd,"
Han said dryly, and his companion laughed.
"Let me get you the next one."
He waved at the bartender droid and pointed at the smuggler's empty glass.
"Thank you, friend,"
the man said.
"A generous soul is its own reward. You have business with this Galassian, too?"
"Might. It's a little hard to say right now. Sort of depends on how the rest of this conference plays out,"
Han replied. The man shrugged, thick shoulders rolling under his loose gray shirt.
"It's good for picking up new contracts with like-minded folks. That's why my group comes. But do I think this ends with everyone holding hands and pledging to end the Empire?" "No. Only a fool thinks otherwise. The Empire isn't going anywhere, no matter how many battle stations the rebels manage to blow up. If that even happened."
"Pretty confident it did."
"That says it may be. But I haven't seen any rebel fleets winning victories in my stretch of space. We're still sneaking past Star Destroyers to make our runs and dodging Imperial tax collectors at the ports. If the rebels are winning, I can't tell."
It was like talking to an older version of himself. The man sitting next to him was who he would have been in a few years if he'd never dumped that cargo of Jabba's and gotten himself in enough trouble to take Luke and Ben Kenobi on their suicide mission. He'd be sitting in bars, talking about the fact of Imperial rule and the fantasy of a rebellion actually winning.
It gave Han a strange sense of disconnection, like he was watching the conversation from outside.
That old Iranian princess, though,
the man continued after a few moments.
She's something else, isn't she?
Leia Organa?
That's the one. Makes me wish I was 10 years younger or 1 billion credits richer.
Han gave the man a false smile through gritted teeth. The server droid offered him another drink, and he waved it off with a quick shake of his head. The two brown-robed delegates he'd noticed in the ballroom had been replaced by a knot of whispering Lannik, who kept their heads together and spoke in urgent tones too low for Han to hear the words. A few people were starting to take places at the tables scattered around the room, and Han suspected the speeches were soon going to begin.
Everyone loves the rebellion, though,
the smuggler said.
We pine for the glorious freedom of the Republic of old. And she can give a fine speech. I'm sure she's gotten many offers of support and friendship. How many of them are going to hold up in an Imperial interrogation room? Not many. But we got 6 new contracts, and the princess was a fine thing to look at while she speechified. And the dinners weren't bad.
Yeah, Han said. That's what I would have guessed. The glorious freedom of the Republic? Meet the new tax collector. Same as the old tax collector.
Ain't that the truth?
The smuggler said, and tapped his glass against Han's.
Chapter 14. The hall stretched out as long as a flight hangar. The high arching ceiling had been shaped from the same pale stone as the mountains and carved by alien hands into complex designs that made Han think of bird bones. A dirty yellow light filtered down through it. Tables of food and liquor for a dozen different species squatted along one side, filling the air with a dizzying rich stink, guaranteed to have something to offend any nose. At the other side, a raised stage waited for a speaker. For Leia. All he could think was how little cover there was up there against blaster fire. He'd expected the seating to be laid out in rows or concentric circles. What was the point in having a speaker if not to watch and listen? But the conclave hall was laid out in small, almost self-contained units. Chairs, tables, squatting couches for the physiognomies that didn't get along well with chairs. Between that and the trio of Bith musicians covering the murmur of conversations with syncopated reedy music, it felt more like a particularly posh cabaret. An old bronze-colored server droid clacked up beside him with a plate of grain crackers smeared with something green and algal-smelling, and half a dozen unlabeled black bottles. Han shook his head. The droid squawked and shifted toward him.
I said no,
Han growled. The droid made an offended squeak and clanked off. Han plucked at the hem of his vest, straightening it. There were easily a dozen different species present, most in groups of their own kind. They were dressed in silks and formal robes, high-collared and conspicuously free of wrinkles. Han wasn't the only one wearing a sidearm, but the others walking between the tables managed to make their weapons look ceremonial. The Rebel Alliance had a table near the foot of the little stage, with half a dozen humans and one Mon Calamari. Scarlet Hark was sitting among them. She'd traded out her borrowed shirt, pants, and vest for a gown of startling red, and her hair was up in a loose, elegant bun held in place by lacquered sticks. She looked perfectly at ease. Han noticed that there wasn't a chair at the table for him, probably because he said he wouldn't come. It seemed a little rude of them to take him at his word. A Bothan man in pale brown robes that matched his pelt approached Han and wordlessly pressed an empty glass into his hand.
The Bothan's deep brown eyes seemed rich with gratitude and a kind of sympathetic sorrow. It wasn't until he walked away that Han understood what had just happened.
I'm not a waiter, he called after the Bothan. I don't work here.
Thank you all for coming,
Leia said, and Han's gaze shot to the stage. She was standing at the front of the little platform. She'd switched her gown for one with a dark cloak and sash that made her look as though she were in military dress without it actually being a uniform. The unpleasant yellow light that shouldered its way through the bone-like ceiling dimmed to a mellow gold. The musicians didn't stop, but the music softened, fading into the background. Hans stepped back, leaning against the wall. After a moment, he put the Bothan's empty glass on the floor at his feet. A small droid, no larger than an Aryan table ferret, skittered by and scooped it up.
I hope you're all enjoying the food, Leia said.
Because a massive Imperial fleet may be descending on us at any second, Han muttered. And you may all be dead before you can digest it.
I wanted to take a moment and thank you all for coming to this conclave, Leia continued. It takes real courage to stand against the Empire. And that is something everyone in this hall shares. Each of us here is dedicated in our own way to fighting Imperial oppression.
So that you can avoid taxes, Han muttered. Or run your own little religious cult. Or just because you're pissed off that you're not the one sitting in Palpatine's chair. And there's an Imperial fleet I'm supposed to warn you about, which I'll get to any minute now.
We have our differences, Leia went on, smiling at the assembled room. I'm not saying that we don't. But after Alderaan, I think we can all see that the danger the Empire poses is too great for any of us to ignore. When the Rebel Alliance attacked and destroyed the Death Star, we weren't acting out of vengeance, but to prevent the tyranny and terror that such a base represents. The tyranny and terror that would have been used to control every sentient being in this room.
Leia's smile was gone now, and she lifted her eyebrow.
We've won our second major battle, but there are many, many more to come before the Empire's power is broken. The truth is, we can't do this alone. Unless we have friends who can support us, the Rebel Alliance will be defeated. And the next tool the Empire creates will go unopposed. And then everyone in this room and outside of it will have reason to mourn.
And oh, by the way, Han said under his breath. Come on, Your Highness. Spit it out. Imperial fleet? Impending attack? You can do it.
Thank you all again for being here. It's an act of courage. And I appreciate it from each and every one of you. And I look forward to talking about how we can all work together to make the galaxy a safer, freer place for everyone.
There was a round of polite applause, and Leia stepped off the stage toward the Rebel Alliance's group. The light brightened, and the music grew louder. Han ground his teeth and turned to leave. At the Rebel Alliance's table, a Findian, with skin the color of old spinach, was shouting at Leia. Han couldn't make out the words of Leia's reply, but the sneering tone carried. The generals and soldiers of the Alliance looked up at the two in various stages of consternation and embarrassment. The Findian lifted both hands in fists and gabbled out a plume of invective that could have stunned a crate dragon. Han pushed off from the wall and started toward the arguing pair, his palm resting on the butt of his blaster. His fingertip tingled and his chest warmed. After all the frustrations Kiamer had offered him up to now, a little honest violence was sounding pretty good. Dozens of people had turned to watch the argument, some with curiosity, some with apparent glee. Han felt his joints loosening in anticipation. He didn't see Scarlet approach. She was just suddenly at his right side, her arm around his, as if he were escorting her. She smiled up at him, her dark eyes glittering.
Why, Captain Solo, and here I was thinking you weren't going to attend our little shindig.
Leia crossed her arms, her mouth thin and her chin high. She asked something, and a roll of laughter passed through the first rank of spectators. The Findian's face grew darker.
"Careful, sister," Han said. "That's my gun arm you're on."
"I know, right?"
she said, moving half a step in front of him and steering him to their left as if he were a cart animal.
"Why don't you come sit with me, and we'll talk about things before you get all dashing and impulsive."
"What are you..."
The Findian pointed a long finger at Leia and muttered something. Leia waved him away and sat down, ignoring him. The Findian closed his fist. Scarlet reached a small table with a single curved bench on one side and maneuvered Han into it, her hand still on his arm. They looked less like he was politely escorting her now. Other people sitting that close and touching that much would have meant something more intimate by it.
"Do you want to tell me what's going on here?" Han asked.
"I'd love to," Scarlet said. "Thanks for asking. The Findian is Harvest Mock, and he's the head of an engineering corporation called Sorin Technic. He's a major supplier of ship-grade weapons for the Alliance, but not everyone knows that, because he's tried to keep it off the books. Following that..."
"So why is he yelling at..."
Scarlet nestled in close, looking to anyone walking by as if she were flirting outrageously with him. It let her speak softly and almost directly into his ear.
"Because he thinks she's going to cancel an order that he's almost finished with. He's mistaken, but it took several people a lot of effort to make him mistaken. And we're all very glad he is."
"That makes no..."
"If you look about 15 degrees to port, there's a man in a blue-gray suit with a little mustache that makes him look like a womp rat. You see him?"
The man was sitting in a group of eight others, human and Yaka. The one Scarlet meant was watching Leia and the Findian with narrowed, appraising eyes. Han had the feeling that maybe this was the one he should have been looking to shoot all along.
"Cyrenus Lamarkin,"
Scarlet said.
"He's been putting pressure on the companies that make Bacta to increase their prices when they deal with the Rebellion. Don't scowl at him. He'll see you. He's been telling himself and everyone who will listen that Leia Organa is so mad with grief over the loss of Alderaan that she's unstable and on the verge of collapse, as good as insane."
The Findian shouted again, and this time Han could make out the words "faithless" and "promise breaker." Leia stepped closer and put her hand on the Findian's arm, her expression polite but implacable. At his table, the rat-faced man turned to one of the cyborg Yakas and said something.
"Right now, a dozen different people are watching Leia deal with an irate partner, and they're seeing that she's keeping her temper, standing her ground, and controlling the situation, and not being the person Lamarkin said she was, which was what this whole evening has been about."
"Unless he had stepped in the middle and screwed things up," Scarlet didn't say. The Findian gestured accusingly, but there was less force behind the gesture now. Leia nodded and drew him over toward her table, seating him where Scarlet had been. The rat-faced man rose from his seat and walked stiffly toward the side of the room.
"None of this is gonna matter when the Imperial fleet comes and shoots all these people," Han said.
Scarlet let out a peal of laughter that could have passed for sincere, and shook her head at him as if he'd said something witty and impudent. Leia looked over at them, as if seeing them for the first time, and nodded. Han was suddenly very aware of being at a small table with a beautiful woman pressed close to him. He smiled at Leia and leaned in towards Scarlet.
"General Chiff has worked out an evacuation plan,"
Scarlet said, ignoring them both.
"I'm taking it to everyone who needs to know, so that we're ready when they come. And I found two of the people Hunter Moss has scheduled to meet with.
They haven't heard from him, but the first meeting is scheduled for tomorrow night. If you're not going to shoot anybody, I'm going to go back to doing that now.
You know, someone could have told me about all this.
If I'd known you'd be here, I would have,
she said, and her voice had lost its false flirtatiousness.
There are a dozen things going on here. They're all critical, and they all affect one another. I assumed you'd be in the hangar with Chewbacca.
Han pulled his arm free of hers and leaned forward, his elbows on the table. He felt embarrassed and resentful, and embarrassed for feeling resentful. But he wasn't going to let any of it show. Leia said something, and the Findian laughed ruefully. A server droid trundled up to the table, and Scarlet waved it away.
I'll get back where I belong, then,
Han said.
I know the danger's real,
Scarlet said.
And more than that, she knows it is. I respect that you want to protect us both, but you need to trust me. And her. These are risks we have to take.
You don't need to tell me about taking risks,
Han said, standing up.
Taking risks is what I do best.
I know,
Scarlet said.
It's why we need men like you on our side.
Damn right you do,
Han said, the words a little less powerful than he'd meant them to be. He stood for a moment.
Are you teasing me?
A glimmer came to Scarlet's eyes.
Absolutely not. And I promise, as soon as I hear anything important, I'll make sure you know. Peace?
Of course, peace,
Han said, tugging his vest into trim.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, then.
Scarlet stood up, too.
I should get back to work.
I'll be at the ship. For what it's worth, you're really dressed nicely.
I'm really dressed appropriately,
she said.
Okay, now I know you're teasing me.
She laughed and stepped out into the milling crowd. Han hovered for a moment, trying to catch Leia's eye, but she and the Findian were deep in conversation. Han made his way to the exit, out through the Conclave Hive, and into the streets. The night air was cool, and the narrow strip of stars above him gave little natural light to the setting. He itched to be out of the city, off Kiamar, and anywhere that a massive attack force of Imperial fighters wouldn't be anytime soon. An old woman driving an even older cargo droid hailed him. The droid's lift arms had been fitted out with a rough couch. He handed her a few credits and sat on the worn, broken cushions, and in a moment the droid was lumbering through the dim streets. A flock of nightbirds flew by, their wings rustling in the dark air. Han sighed and opened a connection to the Millennium Falcon. Chewbacca answered it with a long, guttural howl of complaint.
I'm on my way, Han said.
The Wookiee howled.
Well, do you see a massive clot of ships trying to get out of here? No, she didn't tell them.
Chewbacca wailed.
Yes, there's a problem. There's always problems. It's nothing we can't handle,
Han said, then dropped the connection.
I hope.
Chapter 15.
Well, Han said with a sigh, here's our problem.
The torpedo that had carried the tracking device onto the Falcon had cut through the hull and embedded itself into a secondary coolant pump. Thick, ropey tangles of congealed cooling fluid stretched across the cramped space around it. Several electrical systems had shorted as the conductive slime grounded them out. A tertiary power cable for the aft shield generator had been cut neatly in two by the head of the torpedo. Chewbacca growled and waved one hairy paw at the mess.
Yeah, buddy, I hear ya,
Han said. He pulled a cutting torch out of his toolbox and crouched next to the missile. Chewbacca huffed and shook his head.
Well,
Han said,
Yeah, if there's also a warhead, it might go off. But I'm sort of betting there isn't. If Boston wanted us dead, why bother with the tracker? I figure he wants us whole for Jabba.
The torch sparked to life, and Hans started cutting off the tip of the torpedo. The edges of the cut glowed white with heat, droplets of liquid metal falling to the decking and cooling to red. When the tip of the missile rolled away without exploding, Han pointed and said,
"See? Told you so."
Chewbacca, who had backed out of the small compartment and was peering around the corner of the hatch, chuffed out an agreement and came back in to pick it up. The work went slowly and systematically for several more hours as they cut the rest of the torpedo out. When Han found the tracking device in its guts, a small unit no larger than his two balled fists together, he smashed it with a hammer. Chewbacca carried the irreplaceable pieces to the ramp and tossed them outside, where a multi-limbed scrap droid picked them up and trundled off with them. When that was done, they started patching the hull. Leia's people had scrounged up a few square meters of decent plating, so Chewbacca began cutting the raw metal into the right shapes while Han welded them into place. Smoke and stink of hot alloy filled the air. Sweat rolled down his back, making his clothes stick to his skin. The compartment was cramped, hot, filled with almost unbreathable air. And after the ballroom, it was where Han Solo finally felt comfortable. Leia could make her way through both worlds. She could be at home in a soldier's uniform or a formal gown. She could wield a blaster or a diplomatic speech. If the last few weeks had taught Han anything, it was that he didn't belong in the civilized part of her world. His place was in the bowels of the Falcon, or the pilot's seat. Of all the smugglers, pirates, and criminals he'd known in his years living outside the law, the ones who survived were the ones who knew their place. The ones who developed pretensions of respectability usually wound up getting eaten alive by a society they didn't ever really fit into. Han ran a weld down a long plate of hull patch, then inspected his work. Smooth, straight, airtight. It felt good to be in a place where he knew what he was doing.
"Ready for that next piece, Chewie,"
he said, holding out his hand. There was no reply. He pulled off his goggles and turned around. Chewbacca was gone.
"Blast it."
He climbed to his feet and stomped off into the corridor. He yelled,
"Where did you go? We're not done here."
He turned the corner into the lounge and found Chewbacca standing with Scarlet. She changed out of her gown and into a pair of snug black pants and a dark gray top. She was wearing the belt covered with the tools of her trade, and she'd added a compact blaster and a quick-draw-style holster. Her hair was still up in a bun with sticks pushed through it, though with the new outfit, the style looked functional rather than elegant.
"What's all this?"
Han asked. Chewbacca started to growl out an explanation, but Scarlet cut him off.
"You're not done? What's not done? Please tell me the Falcon can fly."
Han shrugged.
"Got a sliced power cable, but I've capped off the coolant link until we can replace it. Hull's patched. She can fly. You two finally come to your senses?"
Without waiting for an answer, Han handed the torch and goggles to Chewbacca.
"See if you can get that cable spliced while we're waiting for her worshipfulness to get on board."
Chewbacca took the tools with a growl and headed off. Han began mentally going through the list of rendezvous points for reconnecting with the Rebel fleet.
"Hunter Moss has jumped in system," Scarlet said.
"Great. And the Imperial fleet?"
"Not yet."
Taking a seat at the Dejarik table, Scarlet pulled out a datapad and called up a hologram of a ship.
"He's flying in this. We need to go get him and escort him back."
Han sat down with her, swiping his hand through the air to kill the hologram.
"Why does he need an escort?"
"Because," she said, "I need to make sure we're the only party he speaks to about selling his data. You fly out, make sure he lands at the dock we want him to, and Leia and I will be waiting for him there." We can't let this turn into a bidding war. And the sooner we get it, the sooner the evacuation can start.
Well, now you're talking something close to sense. Do we have any reason to think he'll do what I tell him to?
Be persuasive,
Scarlet said, with just a hint of a smile. Han frowned to keep himself from smiling back.
This is coming from Leia? This is what she wants?
It's what needs to happen,
Scarlet said, the smile vanishing.
So go do it.
Hey, I have one boss, sweetheart,
Han said, tapping his own chest.
As far as I'm concerned...
Call when you're coming back,
she said, standing up.
I'll give you a dock assignment then. Don't screw this up, Solo.
Don't...
he started, but she was already leaving. Chewbacca wandered back into the room, the smoking welder in one big paw. He cocked his head to one side and howled out a question.
I am really starting to dislike the level of bossiness hanging with these rebel entails,
Han said.
I thought the princess was bad.
The Falcon's reactor wound up with a hum so high-pitched it was almost subliminal, then cycled back down with a sound like grinding gears. For the third time. The knowledge that Scarlet was down in the dock's viewing area, watching as he vainly tried to get his ship off the ground, made each successive failure a little more humiliating.
It's gotta be a short,
he said to Chewbacca, for the third time.
It's the only thing that makes sense. Are you sure you scraped all the gunk out of the cabling?
Chewbacca growled back dangerously.
Then it's gotta be that tertiary power cable splice.
Chewbacca rumbled out another terse reply.
Yes, I know I was the one who did that. We can sit here all day assigning blame, or we can fix it.
Chewbacca stared at him for several long seconds.
I have to stay up here. Someone has to be in the pilot seat to monitor and test.
Chewbacca got up and headed to the back of the ship without a word. The comm came to life with a hiss, and Scarlet said,
Are you pouting, or does your ship not work?
I don't pout,
Han said, aware that actually having to say those words out loud automatically made them a lie.
Just need to finalize something and we'll be heading right out.
He shut his mouth before So Stop Watching could sneak out. Chewbacca growled from the back of the ship, and an indicator on Han's panel shifted from yellow to white. The reactor came on with a smoothly rising whine and stayed on. A few moments later, the Falcon lifted off the dock, not a warning light in sight. Flying up off the planet was like watching the universe come into being. Stars unfolding as the tops of the mountains fell away. The small, ruddy moon hung on the horizon and then drifted behind them as Han angled the Falcon out of the atmosphere to where he could safely bring the throttle up to full. Han was scanning the space around Kiamer, looking for Moss's ship, when Chewbacca walked back into the cockpit and plopped into the co-pilot's chair. The Wookiee growled at him for a minute, waving his big paws around angrily.
Don't I know it, Chewie,
Han said, then shifted the scan to a new vector and started over.
When did we go from having no boss to everyone being our boss? This Hark character isn't even a princess. He can forgive royalty for acting like the universe owes them something, but Scarlet's just a spy. Where does she get off?
Chewbacca burbled out a reply while he worked on the damage control, double and triple checking the various systems they'd just repaired.
Take my word for it, buddy. There's gonna be trouble there eventually,
Han said.
You put two stiff-necked women like that in proximity to a good-looking guy like me, sooner or later it comes to blows.
Chewbacca looked at him out of the corner of one eye and barked a laugh.
Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up. You don't want to be anywhere nearby when that reactor pile goes hot.
Chewbacca turned his chair toward Han and opened his mouth, but whatever he was about to say was lost when a console alert sounded. The Falcon had found a fast-moving light freighter headed their direction. Chewbacca swiveled back to his console and started scanning the new contact. He barked out the info as it came up.
Moving awful fast for a YU-410,
Han replied.
Those things usually drive like garbage scows.
A few moments later, the reason became clear. The YU-410 model Corellian freighter was typically slow-moving and heavily armed. Someone had stripped off most of the armaments and beefed up the drive. It had a single laser cannon turret instead of the usual four, and the one it had could only fire forward. Fast-moving, its armaments pointing forward, it had been refitted from a freighter into a Predator. He'd seen 1,000 ships like it, and not one of them had been made for respecting the law.
That's gotta be our boy,
Han said.
Let's get over alongside him and introduce ourselves.
Chewbacca ramped up power to the drive to close the distance as quickly as possible. Han warmed up the Falcon's concussion missile tubes, just in case. People had a tendency to listen more closely to your arguments when you just flattened their ship's shields. The big YU-410 came straight at them, heading toward Kiamer at maximum speed. Chewbacca plotted them a looping course that would put the Falcon alongside the other freighter as it passed by. Han pulled on his headset and started hailing the other ship. The only reply was static.
Huh, he said. It's almost like someone is jamming them.
A large energy blast hit the stern of the YU-410, lighting up its shields and sending crackling bolts cascading across its hull. When the light show was over, the YU-410 was still flying, though it looked as if the rear hull plating had taken some damage.
Chewie, get us over there! I'm gonna try to cut that jamming. See if you can lock on to whoever's shooting our friend.
Chewbacca growled out a reply and sent the Falcon diving at the YU-410 at full speed. Han began cycling the communications controls, dumping more power into his broadcast and trying to force his signal through the jamming field. After a few moments of work, he was rewarded with a tenuous connection. A faint voice said,
Hello? Who is calling Hunter Moss?
This is Captain Han Solo of the Millennium Falcon. I've been sent to make sure you get safely to dock on Kiamer.
You,
said the voice,
are doing a terrible job.
Han's mouth shut with a click.
Be there in a second,
he said, then shut off the headset microphone.
Chewie, get us over there before this guy makes me want to watch him die.
A new alert began flashing on the console as the Falcon found the pursuing ship and locked on.
Great,
Han said.
Imperials.
He'd hoped against hope that the ship chasing Moss was a jealous rival, or a pirate, or really anything but the first sign that the Imperial fleet was on its way. The Imperial ship looked like a TIE fighter, which was bad. Han began scanning the sky for the carrier that had brought it. The real threat would be whatever ship the TIE had jumped in on. But after several seconds of scanning, the Falcon found nothing.
Try to put us between that freighter and the TIE,
Han said to Chewbacca, and the Wookiee growled out an affirmative.
And angle the rear deflectors. We'll get in there and spoil their shot.
Han went back to the scan of the TIE fighter. It was an unusual design, bigger than the usual escort ships, and it had a strange bulge, as if someone had welded a bus on top of the hull.
I think I know this one, Chewie. I think that's an SR. Experimental TIE with a hyperdrive for long recon. They didn't make very many of them. If so, we're in luck. He could have jumped in on his own, which means we don't have a frigate hiding out there somewhere.
Yet, he didn't say. Chewbacca growled and yanked hard on the controls. Hunter Moss's freighter loomed in front of them, and the Falcon began shaking with incoming fire. The rear deflector alarm started squawking.
Oh, look,
Han said to Chewbacca, and grabbed the controls.
We've just been invited to the dance.
Chapter 16. Hahn threw the Falcon hard to port, and a stream of laser cannon fire flashed past.
That almost hit Hunter Moss's ship!
Hunter Moss yelled in Hahn's headset.
It almost hit Han Solo's ship,
Hahn muttered to himself, then turned the headset mic back on.
We're handling it. Just keep heading to Kiamer at full speed. We'll get this guy off your tail.
See that you do!
Chewbacca growled out a laugh.
Not a chance, pal,
Han said to the Wookiee, and pulled hard at the controls to throw the Falcon across the pursuing TIE's field of fire, trying to draw its aim away from the fleeing Moss.
We're not adding a third boss to this trip. Just as soon as we...
The Falcon shuddered as another burst of laser fire hit her rear shields. A warning light started flashing.
Get rid of this guy. We'll make sure Moss knows his place in the pecking order.
The warning light shifted to red, and an alarm shrieked. The rear deflector was collapsing. The recently patched power cabling had burned out, and the energy surge had knocked out the backup generator. As if to highlight this fact, the cockpit of the Falcon started to smell like smoke and burning conduit.
We just fixed that,
Han said. Chewbacca growled back. Han nodded.
I know, it's frustrating.
Another stream of laser fire cut through the space between the ships. Han managed to evade most of it with a hard, spiraling dive to starboard. But a few bolts struck the rear of the Falcon. The warning indicator shifted to black, and the alarm squealed one last time, then fell into a sullen monotone. The rear shield was gone. Han yanked back on the controls, pulling the ship into a tight loop. The moment they were out of the way, the TIE fighter began pouring laser fire into the back of Moss's freighter. The pirate screeched at them.
Hunter Moss is being fired upon again! You said you came to protect! You are very bad at this job!
Han continued the loop until the Falcon was behind the TIE.
Yeah, but you still have your rear shields, he said to Moss. So you can take it!
Moss wailed his disagreement, but Han killed the headset.
Chewie, start calculating a torpedo shot on that TIE fighter. If, like the rest of them, it doesn't have shields, one concussion blast should be enough to take it out.
Chewbacca worked at the weapons console while Han throttled up to close the distance. The SR model TIE was fast, and it appeared to have plenty of spare power for the laser cannons. It fired into the fleeing YU-410 without pause. The Empire's penchant for building fighters without shields had always seemed insane to Han. One of many reasons he didn't fly for that particular corporation. But working for the opposing team, he was grateful for their lack of compassion for their pilots. Chewbacca yowled in triumph as the Falcon buzzed a target lock signal. Han closed the distance to the optimal firing range and let loose two of his 8 STT concussion missiles. That was 1,500 credits on the wing, but he'd make sure to add that to the bill. The TIE began dodging when the missiles launched. The pilot was good. Han had expected that. The Empire didn't have very many of the SR-class recon fighters, so whoever flew them would be top shelf. Han kept his finger on the trigger, ready to fire two more missiles if he needed to. He didn't. The TIE started a hard turn to port, but the YU-410 veered erratically into its path, forcing the pilot to correct in the other direction and into the path of the incoming missiles. Both hit, and the TIE fighter disappeared in a massive concussion blast that blew it into gravel-sized chunks. The forward shields of the Falcon flashed as debris sprayed across the ship. Chewbacca barked a victory laugh at the vanished fighter and climbed out of his seat.
Yeah, Han said. Check on that generator. See if it can be saved. I don't like the idea of flying without rear shields until we get back to the fleet.
Chewbacca growled out his assent and vanished into the back of the ship.
Hunter Moss,
Han said, after turning the headset back on.
This is Captain Solo,
You fired torpedoes at Hunter Moss! The Cosmodium could have been destroyed!
The Cosmodium? Is that your ship?
Hunter Moss carries precious cargo in fragile data storage devices. The pulse from exploding torpedoes can do irreparable damage to such things.
Those were concussion warheads. They don't make up...
And pieces of the exploding ship have pierced the Cosmodium's hull. Hunter Moss will require extensive repairs to his ship.
Hunter Moss?
Han said pleasantly.
Yes?
Shut up!
There was a long silence, though it was impossible to tell if this was obedience or shock.
Thank you,
Han said.
Please follow my course to Kiamer. We'll make sure you get there safely. We have a secure dock picked out for your landing.
Hunter Moss selects his own dock. Thank you for your offer, but your work is now complete. Take the compliments and salutations of Hunter Moss to whoever your master is. Goodbye!
Hold on there, pal,
Han said. The guy on the other end of the line was finally starting to get on his nerves.
You're gonna follow me back to my dock. End of story.
And why would Hunter Moss agree to these terms?
Because,
Han said, making sure Moss could hear the smile in his voice.
I saved you.
When Moss started to interrupt, he talked over him.
And I'm sitting behind you right now with 6 more concussion missiles. So you can fly to Kiamer, land at my private dock and meet with my friends, or I can tow the crippled remains of your ship to that same dock.
The pause was shorter than Han had expected.
Hunter Moss likes the sound of this private dock. Lead the way, my friend.
Han nodded to himself and stripped off the headset.
How's that for persuasive?
He said to no one. True to her word, Scarlet had a dock assignment waiting for them at a small freight forwarding warehouse just outside the main city. The warehouse was closed when they arrived, so the dock was empty of ships and employees. She was waiting for them, lounging on a nearby flight of stairs. Han trotted down the ramp from the Falcon, hand on the butt of his blaster. They didn't really have any idea how many people Moss had with him on his ship, or if they'd be angry about Han forcing them to land. If Scarlet was worried, it didn't show. She stretched out on the steps, head cocked to one side so that her black hair fell away from her eyes. She gave Han a grin.
Good job, Captain.
He had an Imperial scout ship chasing him,
Han said.
The clock's ticking. The invasion has to be on its way.
We saw,
she said, then jumped lightly to her feet and started walking toward Moss's freighter.
Thanks for handling that, Han. But it's possible the scout that was chasing Moss was working on its own. We can't be sure it was an advanced ship of an Imperial fleet.
Are we waiting to find out? Because that seems like a bad hand to bet all our chips on.
Let's just get this negotiation out of the way.
Scarlet said.
That's our priority. Then we'll decide what to do.
Why do I feel like the we in that statement doesn't include me?
Because it doesn't?
Before Han could formulate a good reply, the ramp to Moss's ship began to open. A thick trickle of smoke and smell of burned metal drifted out. The Cosmodium had taken a beating, no doubt about that.
Chewie,
Han said into his headset.
Get your furry backside out here.
The Wookiee growled back.
I know I told you to fix it, but get out here anyway. Bring your bowcaster.
Chewbacca chuffed in agreement and closed the line. Hunter Moss appeared at the top of the ramp, bursting out of the smoky ship's interior like an actor taking the stage. He was a small man, physically speaking, but he managed to take up all the space in the large and mostly empty dock. He didn't walk down the ramp. He swaggered. He didn't smile at them. He grinned a mouthful of sparkling white teeth. He was shirtless, wearing his small, middle-aged potbelly with a pride it didn't deserve. His pants were tight black leather. Over his shoulders flowed a floor-length red cape with elaborate gold piping. A meek R3 droid followed after him like a supplicant, and a thin, rat-like bird perched on his left shoulder, chittering random words in a dozen different languages.
"Greetings!"
Moss boomed at them, throwing his long cape away from his right hip to expose a holstered blaster. Han worked to keep a grin off his face. The blaster was an ancient model so large that he was pretty sure he could draw and fire 3 shots in the time it would take that aged monstrosity to clear its holster. If the point of all the cape twirling was to be threatening, it wasn't working.
"Hunter Moss," Scarlet said, giving him a hint of a bow. "We're very happy you agreed to join us."
"Agreed?"
Moss said, eyebrows crawling up his face.
"All of the posturing from this one,"
he pointed at Han,
"would have been unnecessary had only Hunter Moss been told of your loveliness."
The gunrunner and thief sauntered down the ramp to Scarlet, swept her hand up in a dramatic flourish, and laid a long, wet kiss on it.
"Hunter Moss is your servant, my lady. Command him."
With a smile, Scarlet managed to pull her hand out of his.
"I ask only that you join me for a drink and a conversation."
"Ah, my sweetling,"
Moss replied, grabbing Scarlet's hand again and putting it on his arm.
"We are meant to be together. You have read Hunter Moss's innermost thoughts and discerned his own desires. Lead on, lady. Drink and converse we shall."
Scarlet left her hand on his arm and began guiding him out of the dock, the R3 scooting along behind him like an attendant at a wedding. Han followed once Chewbacca had caught up to them. The Wookiee carried his bowcaster in both hands and frowned a question. Han nodded toward Moss and shrugged. As he and Chewbacca followed Scarlet to the meeting place, Moss ignored them completely. He couldn't blame the man. Scarlet definitely had the air of someone in charge. Whenever she was in the room, he and Chewbacca probably looked like tired thugs. The unspoken threat paired to her polite civility. It was a role Han had played before, but it galled him how quickly he fell into it when he was around her. Scarlet led them to a small cantina at the edge of the docks, the kind of rough place the warehouse workers and ship's crews would go after a shift to spend the day's wages blowing off steam. Chewbacca hung his bowcaster on his back and crossed his arms, over 2 meters of furry threat to ward off anyone looking for an easy score. Inside, the place was all black walls and flashing lights. Gaming machines and gambling tables were scattered around the room as if a bored giant had dumped them out of his pockets on the way through. A dozen different species drank and gamed and scuffled in the cramped space. Hunter Moss looked right at home. Leaving the R3 with them, he sauntered up to the bar and spoke to the bartender for a few moments. Though with the deafening rattle of gaming machines and piped-in music, it was impossible to hear what was said. A moment later, the bartender handed Moss 2 glasses, and Moss passed the man a coin. He gave 1 glass to Scarlet and drank off the other in 1 long swallow. He said something Han couldn't make out. Scarlet answered, nodding toward Han and Chewbacca. Han could feel the approaching Imperial fleet like an itch on the top of his scalp. Every second they spent was one they wouldn't have when they needed to run. A pair of 3-eyed, goat-faced Gran in orange and black flight suits walked towards Scarlet and Moss. But Chewbacca stepped in front of them and growled, and the 2 Gran beat a hasty retreat. Han sidled up to Scarlet and whispered in her ear.
"Everyone can tell we don't belong here."
She didn't reply, but a moment later she finished off the last of her drink and said,
"Captain Moss, would you like to join me in our private room in the back?"
The shirtless man smiled and downed his 2nd drink, slamming the glass on the bar.
Hunter Moth would very much like to join you in a private room.
Scarlet took his arm and led him through the thick knots of bar patrons with practiced ease. She could move people out of her way with just a smile and a polite nod.
Han had to use Chewbacca to clear his path to the back of the bar.
And still, he almost wound up in a fight with a piggish alien of a species he didn't recognize.
In the end, Chewbacca picked up the alien by the scruff of the neck and shook it until it calmed down. After that, everyone cleared a path for them. By the time they caught up, Scarlet and Moss were at a small door. Scarlet knocked, and it slid open. The back room of the cantina was bare stone, with rough surface scratches where the marks of the cutting torch hadn't been smoothed away. A small table with a bottle of liquor and three glasses stood in the middle of the floor, under a single hanging light. Boxes of supplies lined the walls, food and drink, and other things less familiar. Leia stood near the middle of the room, wearing a loose white robe over sand-colored pants. She looked too elegant to be in a port cantina. Han gave her a grin, and one corner of her mouth twitched.
Thank you for coming, Captain Moss. My name is Leia Organa of Alderaan, and I would like to buy what you are selling.
Chapter 17. Hunter Moss looked around the room as if he owned it. He bowed to Leia and Scarlet in turn, and favored Han and Chewie with a wink, before settling into a chair and propping his heels on the table. Now that he was holding still, Han could see that the man's scuffed work boots were decorated with mosaic skulls made of shards of crystal. Chewbacca silently turned to Han and lifted a brow. Han looked down and bit his lip to keep from laughing.
You are the rebel princess, then, hey? The lovely miss says you sent these two to help me escape the Imperial ship,
Hunter said.
Hunter Moss owes you a debt of honor, and it shall be repaid.
Leia sat across from the man. From her demeanor, she could have been meeting with a president or a king. Scarlet leaned against the back wall, her face blank, her concentration fierce. Han met her gaze and glanced at Hunter Moss.
This guy? Really?
A small line drew itself at the corner of Scarlet's mouth. Not a smile, but the presentiment of one.
I'm pleased the rebellion could be of service,
Leia said.
It seems we have a common enemy.
Hunter Moss has no enemies,
Hunter Moss said.
He has only admirers, and the jealous.
And the fighter that was trying to kill you?
Leia asked.
Jealous! Intimidated by my masculinity.
Han had been around Leia long enough to recognize some of her small, unconscious expressions. The blink that lasted a fraction of a second too long, the smile that began and ended at her eyes because she'd practiced doing that. Hunter Moss didn't see any of it. The rat bird screeched and hopped from Moss's left shoulder to his right, nipping at his earlobe.
I understand that you've come to the conference with some information to sell,
Leia said.
Not information! Victory! Hunter Moss holds the key to control over the Empire, such that even the bad Emperor quakes in his boots like a little girl to contemplate.
He swung his boots to the floor with a clunk and lowered his voice to a whisper.
Power such as you have never imagined. Hunter Moss has come not to sell information, no, but to choose.